We will go ahead and get started. We have some item this afternoon. First up is discussion of the usage of enhanced TIF authorities, the Brutzer project. Mr. Quinville, do you want to lead off on this, bring us up to date?
Yes, I'll lead off just to kind of indicate where we are and to date, at least with the city staff and the EDA staff on discussing the Brutzer project. The Brutzer project had gone along some time before at least the city staff got involved. It had gone through the neighborhood groups and the planning commission, some discussion. And the EDA staff and the city staff did meet and asked about, first off, we asked the male representatives their feeling about the extension of a tunnel, which had been talked about over to this particular project. And we got a response back from the clinic representatives that said that they would extend the tunnel to the street right away if the city council decided that they wanted to do so. The EDA and the city staff then talked about that extension of the tunnel and kind of were ambivalent about proceeding with recommending the tunnel extension. So I brought that up for a discussion at the November 2nd council dinner meeting, and at which time the majority of the city council indicated that we should attempt to put together a project with the tunnel. Then we did start some meetings with Mr. Brutzer to see how we might accommodate that tunnel extension, and also discussed somewhat some shared public parking, perhaps, and the parking ramp that was associated with that proposed project. I did indicate that I was really reluctant to begin some discussion of the city involved in public parking in a non-owned public parking ramp, but that I would be open to those discussions. And so we've had some of those discussions. Now we're at to the point where if the city's going to be involved in a project at all, they need the enhanced TIF authority that's included in the DMC legislation. And so we prepared some information for the DMCC board, and I asked you at last Wednesday's committee, the whole meeting on the budget, whether or not you were all on board somewhat to seek the use of enhanced TIF by the DMCC board, and you indicated at that time that you wanted to discuss it at this meeting today. And I've heard back some information. I don't know indirectly that the clinic representatives aren't really interested in extending that tunnel unless it would serve more than the one project. And I guess Richard could probably talk a little bit more about how feasible it would be to extend that tunnel to other projects or other owners' property along in that area. But I would of the opinion that that tunnel extension would be very expensive, and I'm not certain that a tunnel pedestrian system would be the way to go in that particular area. I just had some brief discussions with Mr. Brutzer before we came down here today, and he, of course, would be very interested in continuing with the tunnel discussion, and he just thought that there would not be, that the only thing we'd be talking about was whether or not we're going to ask the DMCC board for their approval to use enhanced TIF. And he did indicate that if we don't have any TIF, he probably doesn't have a project and won't do a project. And I don't know where you go beyond that now, but I guess the decision would be is whether or not you feel that the project is important enough to continue with trying to do the tunnel and some parking arrangement and ask the DMCC board for the approval of the enhanced TIF, or if you may have some other alternative viewpoints that you don't want to see the tunnel and you probably don't want to try to put together the TIF for parking for Mr. Brutzer. Now, I do realize that Mr. Brutzer has been involved in this process for a long time. He's somewhat been run through the ringer, and I wouldn't view that it would be a development process that we would brag about for other people that come to town and try to put together a project. So I would think that as much as possible, we owe Mr. Brutzer some understanding of where we would go so that he doesn't waste any more time if it turns out he doesn't have a project.
All right. So it sounds like a critical element. There are multiple elements. The tunnel or the tunnel system is obviously a critical component. We talk about parking and streetscape and so forth, but the tunnel system seems to be the kind of the crux of the issue here. And I think there's a couple of things in play, and I would ask for, is Richard here?
Yes.
I would ask for his comment. There are two things in play that are kind of unknown. One, the kind of a transit stop that could potentially happen in the future, but I believe that's on the south side of 2nd Street. And then, of course, we've got the 2nd Street reconstruction in that particular part of the corridor. So I guess I'm wondering from Public Works perspective, what is, knowing what we know today, what is the likelihood that we will have or could potentially create a tunnel system in that area that this could be part of? And that's kind of a read the tea leaves for me.
Well, I'm not sure it's reading tea leaves. I think it's pretty straightforward. Either the transit stop in the mid-block area, virtually across from where the current mid-block crosswalk is, would involve a city acquisition of a couple buildings in order to accomplish that. If there is not a subway connection to that facility, then there's no need for the facility. In other words, because we're not going to cross people at that location any longer. The mid-block crosswalk is coming out. Mm-hmm. And we're moving people to 3rd to 12th to 13th Avenues with signals at those locations. So to take them both east and west and then expect them to come back to something in the way of a building with a transit amenities would be beneficial. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't be cost-effective. People wouldn't use it, because it's not going to line up where the transit stops are. So I think the whole discussion of the transit hub there kind of goes hand in hand with the subway connection.
Right.
It's not one or the other. They both either go, or and if one doesn't go, the other doesn't go either.
Okay. Mr. Wojcik, I know you have a question.
Well, here's my issue is that, St. Mary's has two incredibly beautiful historic front doors on it, where people come out those front doors and they cross the street. And, you know, as best I can tell, there's already been a determination made that we're not going to allow people to cross the road where they come out the doors at the surface level. And I guess I'm just not willing to sell those crossings down the river yet. I'd really like some...
That's necessarily our decision. The current entrance to the St. Mary's, mm-hmm. I believe it's the Francis Building, is not handicap accessible.
Yeah.
And it's not handicap accessible because there are steps.
Right.
At the sidewalk there. So those steps have to go away.
Yep.
The only way to do that is to take the sidewalks east and west to 13th and 12th Avenues. Pretty much have been addressed with the mail, with the St. Mary's staff. And to make that entrance handicap accessible, that's pretty much that has to be done. So it doesn't make any sense to maintain that crosswalk at its current location because it won't serve anyone.
Well, and I think part of it, we've never had an opportunity where we've had significant involvement to discuss with the affected parties in the area. And I think that's a step that has to happen before we come up with any final conclusions. I know we do have some DMC EDA staff here as well. Earlier today, I did send out a note that had the six things that, the six questions that I want to have answered before we committed one way or another with TIF, and that's not to say that TIF is good or bad in this project, but just I don't want a situation like the 501 building where we come in and there were some questions that, we really didn't have answered at the time we approved the TIF for that project. So I know that Larry has been working for very closely with the DMC EDA staff for the last week, and I think that, assuming the DMC EDA staff is looking to continue to work with them to make this project successful, I wouldn't want to take any actions today that would dissuade the parties from continuing to work, make this project better, make it fit what our vision for that area is. I do think that we have to take a look in terms of where we're putting our transit connections, because the St. Mary's Place concept does have it, two blocks away from this. And how much we invest in transit infrastructure in one particular place should be weighed against where do we think that's really going to be in the end. I do think that but those six things that I asked out there, we do have to do our due diligence and make sure that the TIF is truly for public benefit, truly offsetting extraordinary costs, not paying for things that we should be getting anyways, and satisfying that but-for test. But I think it's fairly likely that there may be an opportunity to do this here. one of the outcomes of this is we do finally have the DMC EDA staff that's pretty well put together at this point, and that's something that we didn't have for a long time. And just from the feedback from these parties, city, and as well as the as well as another potential development in the area, the feedback that I've gotten is that these meetings with all the parties where they're on site talking about the goals and kind of a shared vision for the area have been incredibly helpful and should probably happen as early on in the process as we can do. In this particular case, it was fairly late in the process, but as it does seem to be that they're getting some value out of this exercise, I hope that we continue to take some steps to figure out whether or not this is going to meet the DMC goals. Because ultimately, the TIF, it's partially our decision. But without the blessing from the DMC and the DMCC, I don't believe we even have the ability to do TIF. Is that correct?
Well, we don't have any authority if we don't have enhanced TIF.
Yeah, so.
In this particular case.
With the one exception, I think we could probably do it for the blight removal, right?
With that one building
yeah,
that's left.
Which is a fairly small amount. Does not get them to the point, so.
Well, there wouldn't have been any problem if Javon wouldn't have tore down the other buildings. It would have obviously been eligible.
I have to confess, I have mixed feelings on that one because I sure don't miss those buildings. But
I agree. So it sounds like, if I hear you correctly, Mr. Wojcik, that we don't have enough information to entirely dismiss the tunnel project,
yeah.
But we don't know that it's necessarily the best configuration. As currently proposed in light of other things that might be happening on 2nd Street and the transit stuff.
And I think that they're coming, I think you understand that perfectly, and I think that they're coming very quickly figuring out what they're going to do over there with some of these meetings that they're having, whether or not you can create a true network over in that area. I don't think they're there yet, but I think they're, and this tunnel is certainly the best configuration for Larry's project, but...
So then I think the question comes back to the developer, whether they can be a little more patient and continue to work through the process, or I suppose an alternative is to forego the whole tunnel idea if the project can still go forward.
And I think the two things that we should do today is if we're dead set opposed to the tunnel, we should probably give that indication today, and if we're dead set opposed to TIF, we should give that indication today. I have some thoughts about them, but I don't see either as being a non-starter at this point.
Well, I think for myself, the crux of the question is whether this serves a greater public good. Mm-hmm. In other words, a tunnel that just serves a sole business doesn't meet the test for me. So the only way it becomes viable is if at some point it's part of a broader, larger system. And I don't know if we... So I'm not ready to, myself, totally dismiss the tunnel yet, nor am I willing to say that I don't know if TIF is viable or not. I don't have enough information. So I agree. I'd love to give an answer today as much as possible, but I don't know if I know enough to completely dismiss those things.
So you're with me, though. You would not say no today. And I think that's... So at least we're in the same point on that. I think the other part of this, too, is if we're doing TIF for parking, it would always be my preference that we have ownership of that parking. But in this particular case, I know staff's working on some revenue-sharing agreements to ensure that we have some control and revenue source from that. But, to Larry's credit, he's got a development here that he doesn't need all the parking that he's putting in. Part of the reason he's looking to put this parking in is it's something that is called for in the DMC district. And I think that's where the DMC EDA is. They got to come back and tell us whether or not that parking has value, and we should pursue that.
Yeah. Other council members? Mr. Ruska.
Stephen, do you know what the total cost is of the project is estimated now? If the tunnel was put in and the 350 parking stalls and everything, do you know what the total cost of the project is estimated?
Larry, do you have a cost estimate on your part?
$63 million.
I'm sorry, what was that?
$63 million.
And of that, you're looking at a 5.6 of TIF.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Richard, do you have an estimate on the tunnel cost?
No. But that's including the $63 million is including the tunnel cost.
No.
Correct.
Was that including the tunnel?
No.
No.
That is including tunnel costs and parking.
But that's your
tunnel. That's not including extending a tunnel. laterally east or west. Yes, east.
It wouldn't take the tunnel from St. Mary's to his project. That would be a different cost.
Right, but it doesn't cover the St. Mary's.
And that's probably $2.5 to $3 million probably.
Okay, so $65 million total?
I suppose that would be roughly.
At least.
That is. And maybe the one other thing, too, one of the things I believe there's a TIF request for is enhanced streetscape. And yes. I put some questions out there, too, that, you know, first and foremost, this is an incentive proposal to begin with, so we do expect a higher level of development going in. We're not necessarily looking to pay for that with TIF dollars. But I know that there's great interest from the neighbors in terms of making sure that streetscape it really shines and it, you know, creates that great DMC pedestrian oriented district that we're looking for there. And we understand that they're working towards that, but they don't have enough definition. We haven't seen that yet. So it's something that those questions I put out there would need to be satisfied. But it, you know, we don't necessarily have that to look at here today, but if the criteria is met.
Yeah. Michael, did you send those questions to Larry?
Yeah, you see, he has them.
Okay.
I put them out on my website, so pretty much everyone has them.
No, I just want to make sure. That
generally speaking, when I post stuff out there, it always seems to find its way to the
I sent a copy to Leslie, who I assume gave it to Larry. Okay.
And frankly, probably 2/3 of his staff is connected with me on social media. So,
so other council members, where
Richard? Richard, is Second Street isn't going to be cut down in one lane either direction, is it? Plans for that?
It's a possibility that during the off-peak period that there might only be one lane westbound in front of the hospital.
And what's the purpose of that?
Just because there's not that much traffic during the day. It's just, and then the parking would be removed on the north side, and so that could function as the other second lane. And basically, again, that's to provide some of the amenities that have been talked about here. Wider sidewalks, more streetscape, more walkable community, neighborhood, that sort of thing. So it's a possibility, but again, there's not been a final decision on that.
And whose decision is that?
Ultimately, it's yours.
Mr. Hickey?
Yeah, just, and what's the timeline on this, with when these decisions have to be made to keep the project on track? I think that's whose question that is.
Well, first of all, you would need to go to the DMC if you wish to proceed. Then we need to take the request of the enhanced TIF to the DMCC board on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Now, the DMCC lawyer did put a proposed resolution of support for that. I'm not certain if the EDA agrees with that resolution that the DMCC attorney put together, but there is at least a resolution that Kathleen Lamb has put together for the DMCC board to act upon if you should decide to pursue enhanced TIF.
One other point of information, we were working on the assumption that the DMCC board will not be meeting again until March, but more current information indicates that they could call a meeting with 3 days' notice if need be, so we're not necessarily pushed out that far.
Would it be appropriate here to maybe ask the DMC EDA for their comments, since I know they have staff here, or if you're comfortable with it.
You want to hear it?
Sure. Who's the rep?
I can make a couple of comments, and I'll ask my colleague Patrick Seed to add. I think Randy and Michael stated it well, that the tunnel needs to serve more than one project for Mayo Clinic to be comfortable with it. And also the due diligence that the DMC EDA is hoping for. We started with those discussions. Last week we had a workshop. Larry and company were there, and I think those discussions were very good. I would say that in the comments and questions that you had, Michael, they weren't all answered. And I think the project itself, it does add full-service hotel rooms in close proximity to St. Mary's. It proposes a shared parking strategy. It activates street level, and it considers a subway connection. But I think the things that we have to be very clear about are getting a better understanding about that subway and the subway connection that Richard Fries was talking about. We don't have the answers to that yet. So to bring a project forward for full approval in terms of dollars and full approval, in our mind, in terms of the EDA's perspective, it's not fully ready for that. However, if we brought it forward to the DMCC board and said our recommendation to the board would that they would provide provisional authority for use of the TIF. So in other words, if the DMCC board would give a nod that this could be used if these questions were answered appropriately, then I think we could start to move forward with Mr. Brucker and others to continue these discussions. Now, perhaps it would create some bit of a delay. It might be a month, it might be 2 months, but at least we would all have the answers to questions that we don't have right now. And Patrick, I don't know if you have anything to add.
That's helpful from the standpoint, you know, that I think the work we did getting everyone together last week was really outstanding, and that certainly is something we'll do more in the future. But my understanding in talking with you and, you know, is that there's great potential here for a good project that meets the DMC guidelines, that meets the goals of the DMC, and you think that this is probably something we should keep working on then.
I think it would be in our best interest to continue these discussions. I think that would be very favorable. And remember, we're talking about more than one project when we have these discussions.
Of course.
So the important thing, I think, as we move forward is, as one project comes in to each sub-district, we take a look at all the projects and everything in the system that it affects. In this case, we're talking about transportation. We're talking about other projects. We're talking about St. Mary's. So there are many other efforts that are involved in this that we should connect and make even a better project from.
Thanks. That helps.
Patrick, did you want to add any comment?
No, I don't think I did.
All right. Ms. Means.
Well, from what I understand, we don't have enough information, and EDA is not ready to say they're going to, you know, support it with the whole scope of what's happening in that area. And there's also a comment about extending it to other businesses if... you know, Mayo would perhaps consider if it were extended to other businesses, and I don't know that other businesses have been notified or approved or are willing to join in. That seems to be an outstanding issue in my mind. The other thing about that Second Street reconstruction, I don't know, there's so much going on, it seems like we need to coordinate our efforts and make sure we're all have clear understanding of exactly what we're being involved in. And furthermore, I think it's really important that we hear from Public Works officially on, you know, that east-west stops or the transit stops, if it was on the east and west side, and have a clear picture of, even with the ADA entrance on Second, I would just like to hear from our professional staff, too, to just say, some thoughts on based on their professional knowledge.
Yeah, Mr. Wardak? Ultimately, I think there's two things going forward that we'll need to do to answer all the questions and settle this. Obviously, we need the we'll need the blessing of DMC to make this into a DMC project and get the enhanced TIF. And the other thing is we need that third-party verification, which essentially most of the questions that I put out there are settled by that independent third-party verification. There's, in terms of evaluating the needs of the district, I know I've reached out to Patrick and DMC staff a little bit about how can we try and bring some parties together and really do some strong visioning. And I think, is it okay to ask you if I have a couple of, if you have any suggestions in terms of, you know, who we might look to maybe bring in and talk about what our options might be in that area?
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention when you were talking. I was writing a note about something else you said.
Okay, so I'll be more concise. Tell us about how independent groups like 88 Cities might be able to help us out in this area.
Well, I think last week, in addition to the workshop, I just want to compliment city staff. Richard adjusted his schedule. I know you were in the middle of budget meetings. Larry and his team. Mayo staff, Bob Lux from Minneapolis all came down and participated in this working session, but it also was on the same day that we had Gabe Klein here from Startup City, which led to a conversation about the idea of potentially involving another organization called 880 Cities, which is 880 refers to 8-year-olds and 80-year-olds. If you build your cities, so that they're safe and attractive for 8-year-olds and 80-year-olds. It'll work for everybody in between. And we have engaged those in my prior work, engaged that organization as we've been looking at street reconstruction plans and thinking about how to develop corridors that are both friendly for transit and also for bikeability and walkability and livability. So it's a resource and organization that we might find useful here as we continue discussions.
Okay. Ms. Wendell?
A comment about with Michael about the independent verification. The tunnel will not be built without the TIF.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
and also, the parking wouldn't be built without the TIF, and Larry wouldn't do the parking on his own for the public without the TIF, so I'm not sure there's much verification needed on that. How would we get verification on those two factors?
And I think the verification maybe goes to some of the other points that I made about the making sure that the TIF dollars that are being asked for things like enhancements actually are past the but-for test, and also that the amount of the TIF requested is appropriate, and we're getting public benefit for this, and we're not subsidizing artificially high land acquisition costs with it. And this is the stuff that Springstead, that's what we typically use for the TIF consulting. I think these are the kind of questions that, as long as we lay them out there, they'll have the wherewithal to answer.
Okay.
I don't know, if it's Dale.
Well, again, I'm not so certain that there'd be that many other factors that we would be involving TIF with his project that we'd need verified, but we do some streetscaping and that would be sort of straightforward. But I'm not so certain that we would be, we're not planning on underwriting his land expenses or any of those development expenses for the building itself.
Well, and I think part of that is you get that verification so you're not indirectly doing it by over-subsidizing another area.
Yeah, I believe I've heard enough that Seth said we should let this go forward to the DMC committee and hear what they have to say, and then I think the continuation of working with the EDA as well and see what we can get figured out. I think that's what this discussion was, to ask if we would consider that. I think that makes sense. So my feeling is let this go forward to the EMCC and have a developer continue to work with the EDA board and see where we end up. That was your request, right? Let's do it.
Okay. Could I make one comment? I appreciate that, and I want to continue to work with everyone to make this project work, but I think you also have to understand that my first presentation to the city and the EDA was August 13th, and here we are in the middle of December. I need a definitive time frame at some point. And the goal is to go to the DMC this Thursday, and if we can get a blessing in whatever form that this can be designated a DMC project, then that works. But then we need to also establish a timeline. I'm not going to be able to hold this project together that long. I have to go back to the landowners. I've already been working with them for well over 6 months, and I can't keep stringing this out forever. So at some point, we need a definitive timeline and decisions. Because, like I told Steve, I said, I've always planned the project with the tunnel, with the additional parking, and I was given strong indications that the tunnel was very desirable and really made this a DMC project. I've always envisioned it being part of a system that would connect to the other properties, and that is the goal. I think there should be a tunnel system in this corridor. It's not just for me. I think this is the first step. We hope our project is the catalyst that gets this developed. But I've always seen it as being part of an entire system. So I appreciate you considering this, and thank you.
Right now, the way the action item that's pending is we submitted a letter to the DMCC board to get it in their packet, which they will be considering this Thursday. And really, we're requesting them to give the approval. Now, they might say, we need more information. They might give provisional approval. We don't know exactly what they'll do. But that's the state we're at right now. So one of the things I'm looking for is if the council would want me to alter any of my comments on Thursday, in light of any new information you have. Otherwise, right now, the action pending is we're requesting that they give approval as a DMC project such that it could then be available of TIF financing. Now, we've not said what that number is. There's more detail to follow, but without that approval, provisional or otherwise, we're sort of stuck. Mr. Ruska, then Ms. Mead.
Well, I've got a couple hats in this race here, but I guess I from a city's viewpoint, I do see the public purpose in this. I like the idea of the subway. I like the idea of the public parking down there. It's not going to be something that we're going to be able to do very easily. So to have a partner that's willing to work with us on that gives us an option there that I think we're not going to have much in the future. So, if we're going to eliminate the crosswalk there and hope that people go down to the end of each block to get safely across, I think you're going to have people that are going to find different ways to do that and create some unsafe situations there. So I think a subway gives people, whether you're from out of town, the weather's bad, or you just want to get across safely, gives us some options. So from the city's view, I see some advantages to this. So I'd certainly like to see us move it forward and see where it goes and take some of these questions that we have and get those answered. I think there's a lot of good in this, so I'd have to see us keep it moving.
Ms. Beans.
Thank you for your comments. You do have a lot of hats, and appreciate your words. You know, frankly, requesting approval during the DMC project, I don't know that, I know the word blessing of DMC, but I'm wondering, would they really approve based on a request that we've made, or would they contingently approve it based on some other factors, like have the other businesses been contacted? Will this be an alternative safe crossing, so that people don't have to walk to the end of, east and west of the site? I mentioned, have the other businesses been contacted? Would they feel it's going to benefit their project? I also think our professional engineers should really to be there and be willing to speak as well, what they see from their point of view. There seems to be a lot of questions yet, and I don't know if I never think about DMC giving blessings. I think about DMC thinking very logically and strategically about what they can do with the information they have and not give absolute approval for TIF until they're comfortable that their decision fits in with the overall DMC environment.
Okay, Mr. Hickey.
Yeah, I definitely want to keep this moving forward, and I think, as you discussed, whether they give provisional approval or full approval, it keeps the process moving. I mean, I think it's important that we keep this project moving, so Our ask of the DMC is for approval, and they'll decide what conditions they put on.
And I want to say, we can't, to Larry's point, which is a very fair point on the schedule, we can't speak for the DMC and what their schedule is going to be. And I fought very hard on this balance of power side to make sure the city maintained its power. But at the same time, there's very good reasons why the DMC has great power in this as well. And this doesn't go forward without the enhanced TIF from DMC. So ultimately, we can say that, once it comes to the city, we know what it's going to be. We know what it's, to get the review at planning and how much time it takes to get to the city council. And my hope is that some of the hurdles that this project has run into in the past, by addressing things like the streetscape around the building and some of the enhancements that the DMC is trying to do to get this to muster their support, will greatly ease the process once they get into that and get to planning and zoning and hopefully have a more smooth process through.
Okay. Mr. Spade?
Yeah, I'd like to just make a comment. I tend to agree with what Michael said, related to, reviewing the project, maybe bringing in a third party in some cases. But in all honesty, I feel like in this particular case, our staff can work with the EDA staff. We've worked closely with Mitch, the finance director of the EDA. I believe between our two staffs, we can actually come up with some reasonable terms, per se, for any assistance that may be deemed appropriate for this project. And I think that would help us keep the ball rolling, because I'm afraid if we ended up trying to get Springstead involved at this particular juncture right now, it's going to be another couple months before they process everything and can get back. I feel confident that, you know, us working with the EDA staff, we essentially can provide a pretty reasonable recommendation in that regard as we continue to move down the path. So unless the council would direct us to hire Springstead to do this, I'd like to just continue to do it internally with our two staffs.
Go right back to where I was before. Let's let the DMCC hear this, hear what they have to say, and that's going to tell us where we're at. I just think that's what the request is. That's what we need to do at this point, and we'll see how that works out come Thursday.
Okay. I would suspect the DMC may, in fact, even give the direction to have third-party verification, because I think they share the goal that we want to be very careful that we're not inflating land prices. So that maybe we can just put it on them, and if they're okay with not going with a third party, then maybe we can do the same.
I'm sure the conversation that we've had here will be shared with the DMCC board, and let them make their decision. That's what we've asked them to do, and yeah. Let's see what they do. Okay.
And there is the immediate project, and then there's the greater part of the area, too. And I think where we really need to get some third-party consensus building and some expertise is how are we going to make this whole area work for all parties. And, you know, that's not necessarily part and parcel of this project, but something that I'm sure the DMC is going to continue to focus on going forward.
Yeah, I agree. I would agree. We need a more comprehensive plan. We know there are multiple significant elements in that corridor, in that immediate vicinity. We need to get everything yeah. As part of that plan. All right. So I've got my Ms. Means.
I just the developer, you know, just the developer. We've not met, but thank you for being here.
Thank you.
You know, he asked for two specific things. He says, you know, this has been going on for several months. He needs the timing so that he can take whatever message he needs to take to whomever needs it. And he ultimately will need a decision that he cannot continue. So, you know, we do need to kind of work productively and efficiently, if not quickly, to make sure that, you know, he has some sense of where we are and where he needs to be.
And I think that's why we wanted to get it on the docket for DMCC consideration on Thursday. Absent their approval, provisional or otherwise, our hands are somewhat
yep.
tied
yep.
as far as use of TIF funds. So good. We needed to get that question out there.
At least it'll be clear direction.
So in the spirit of trying to move it along, that's the best we could do, I think, at this point.
And I do think that we owe it to Mr. Rutker to get his response as quickly as we can and we'll strive to do that. It has been a long time.
Yep.
Assuming this does go forward, one unrelated item that I think we do need to look at, related to the project but unrelated to the TIF, is this. I've thrown the question out there that it appears that the lack of ability of a place of putting a substantial crane out there is negative, is having some significant impacts on the cost. And if, in fact, it makes the project more viable with less TIF, I would at least like maybe a response from staff in terms of what we would have to do to use enough of Second Street to put a substantial crane out there. You know, do we put up with a couple months of congestion to significantly lower construction costs? Because it does appear that that's a cost driver, but that's not related immediately to the TIF consideration.
Understood. That might mitigate some of the construction costs or impact. At least.
It's an option anyway.
Right, something to consider. All right, are there any other comments? I think I've got my marching orders for Thursday, haven't I? All right, then, we will move on. Mr. Bildebeck's topic, discussion of possible landlord incentives in the rental housing ordinance, and we have some ideas attached via memo. And I don't know if, do you want to lead off?
Sure. Just looking at a way to help incentive, make it a more of an incentive for our landlords to be on top of their programs. I've spoke with the city attorney and the building safety head, as well as the our city administration. There are examples of this throughout the state, Minneapolis, Hopkins. They all have done it for a while and have been, seems to be very successful. But basically what I'm looking to do is to ask the council to consider and ask building safety to start looking at incentive programs for our building or for our landlords. Basically looking at our single family homes where we can ask, look at it, if they go through a couple cycles with very few to no issues, very minor issues, that they could be moved into the list where they could skip a cycle and go every 4 years, possibly with a reduction of the cost of the rental certificate. And if they have between X and Y amount of issues, then any of the reinspections would be a cost to the landlord. But then they would stay on the two-year program. And if they had over Y issues, that they would be dropped onto a yearly inspection. We could also look at the number of the issues and then even ask for an inspection every time they have to renew their lease with another person. But there's a lot of options. My question is, I'm hoping and asking the council to consider looking at this. It's another way. I like the fact that we're incentivizing the landlords to try to help them do a better job and reduce their cost and their headaches. I look at some of these forms, and the nice thing about it is it's pretty straightforward. There's no guessing. And we've all had issues where we've heard that, well, we had one inspector who said this and the next inspector said that. And this way we have a consistency. It's clear. And I think that might help our groups. It might help, if there's enough bad landlords, maybe generate funds to have more inspectors. But what we've talked, when we talk and we go and look at these places, we realize that 90-95% of our landlords are good. And they do a great job. And I would definitely want to get their input on it. But I would like the council to consider asking building safety to go forward and start looking at this proposal possibility.
Mr. Bildebeck and I had a chance to talk about this, and you might recall this conversation started when we were proposing the idea of having kind of a 30% rule or something like that. And in all honesty, I thought that was a little too broad brush in my mind, that it kind of paints the entire city, when in fact it's hopefully a handful of landlords that are perhaps not being attentive. So I am more supportive of the idea of considering some sort of incentive approach that allows some landlords that are paying attention and taking good care of their property to see some benefit, whereas those landlords that are not doing such a good job, they're going to be penalized by more inspections and more financial costs. So in that light, that's a conversation we had, and that's why I was open to talking about this today. Mr. Ruskin?
Well, as a former landlord, I would welcome this. It seems like every year you're just kind of get your notice, and then you set up an appointment, and then you meet the people over there, and it goes good, and then about the time you think you're done, you get another notice because it comes along again. And I always took pride as a landlord to make sure I was taking care and doing everything the way I should, and this creates efficiencies for those people that are good, responsible landlords and take care of good properties and saves our staff a lot of probably running around. So I'd be curious to know what building safety has for their initial thoughts on this, but it certainly seems to make sense to me. And the people that aren't doing it and creating more work are going to have more challenges with this. So I like the initial idea of it and would like to hear what the staff says, but certainly I'll support looking at it.
Other Ms. Means.
I do. I mean, what can we do except that enhance the efficiency of our inspection team by minimizing those property owners that are generally good property owners and focusing on the ones that need the help. So I'm glad you brought it up.
So I guess I'm supportive of three things I'm looking for. I guess one would be Susan's got to tell me she likes it. That another one would be I do want to see the net fiscal impact of what we're doing. I mean, the idea would be that we're making ourselves more efficient and we're not increasing subsidy to doing this. And then And that could mean either we're increasing some fees and reducing other fees because of the timing, or it could just mean less staff time, therefore, where there's less of a cost associated with that. You know, and then third, too, would be obviously, and I assume this would come without saying, but some follow-up a year in or something to see how the thing's going.
And I think the only thing we'd be looking for today is whether there's consensus on the council that this seems like a viable and palatable approach, and then direct staff to research it accordingly and come back answering some of the questions that Ms. Wojak and others have raised. Other comments?
Can we hear from either Ms. Gare or
Building Safety? And again, we're not going to solve this today, but if you have some initial thoughts or comments, I'd be happy to hear them.
I do. Thank you for the opportunity. I wholeheartedly support this opportunity for property owners who are taking good care of their apartments. I would also like to see this be expanded to apartment owners. For example, we had a team inspection of 318 Commons last week. The property manager is Vern O'Neill. 98 apartments and not one code violation. So I would certainly like to see this opportunity be extended to those property owners as well as, you know, other apartment owners who are taking very, very, very good care of their property. And I'd like to spend more time with the property owners who have quite a number of code violations and assist them in bringing them up to the level that the others are at.
And I think
this would be a good thing. We actually had this discussion with the Rochester Multi-Housing Association about a year ago. And we actually have a meeting Wednesday night. So this is a very timely topic for me to take to them and get their input as well.
Yeah, I like your comment about the larger apartment dwellings, because I think you'll agree you can spend a lot of time on a duplex. Far more than you'll spend on a 40-unit building sometimes. It's just unreal. Mr. Russell?
I was just going to kind of tie into that. I think, you know, some of our properties in town do need a lot more mentoring and assistance, and it's hard to be able to give them that concentrated time and effort and follow-through that they really need, because if you're trying to cover all the bases all the time, and I think that's, hopefully this will help that. Susan, is that kind of what you're thinking? Is this going to give you more time to help some of the places that they probably need a little bit more hands-on, a little bit more follow-up and follow-through. So.
That's such a nice way to put that.
And I'm more than happy to take it through the whole thing. Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Hear, hear.
I
thought you were referring to all rental properties when you first brought it up.
I love all rental properties to do that, but I was trying to make sure that it was doable without taking them too far, but I love the fact that Susan is offered that, and I would be more than willing to support that.
Makes sense. So are we in agreement that we should ask staff to research this and bring back a thought-out plan and some pros and cons and so forth? I agree with Mr. Wojak. Whatever we do, it should be some sort of provisional program so that we can evaluate. We think, you know, a lot of things we think are going to have a positive effect, and then that doesn't always turn out to be the case, so I'd love to have a chance to reevaluate that.
Again, what a nice way of putting that, too.
I would just like to make one point. With regard to this, it's going to require us to upgrade our ordinance to be a more updated. I mean, we're working off of a housing code that's been written back in the 60s, and I think we really need to evaluate the whole ordinance and how to make that more consistent. Because if we do a grading point system, we're going to have to make sure that we have very strict expectations and a way of scoring it so that it doesn't apply too much pressure to our inspectors to give them a good grade. So it has to be very specific. And I think we've seen a lot of examples from Hopkins and St. Paul that do a very good job of that, but they've adopted the International Property Maintenance Code. The issue that I'm concerned about is if we adopt a new property maintenance code or a new housing code, I don't want 40% of our properties to be in violation right away. So it's going to have to be something that we have to work through with that. But it's going to be a big project, I mean, to look at. But I think if we can bring all those pieces together and then automate a lot of those steps and make it such that we can use the Acela system, it would be very good. So.
I think that should be part and parcel of it, that we exploit the technology to the best extent possible. Mr. Quinville.
Can we talk about some time when you at least bring it back to see what we have done on it? And I don't think, because it depends on you, Susan and Randy, how long it would take you to do something. But it would be helpful to have a timetable and bring it back to see what you've accomplished.
Just as far as the proposal, where do we want to go with this?
You talk about updating the rental, I mean, that could take a long time.
Right, that's a 6-month, 9-month project right there. Just working on that. I mean, are you looking to implement this in the next 3 months, or just get a kind of study?
I think we give you that option to tell us. We'd like to move it along. At least have an update in 3 months, per se, to let us know where you're at, how's it going, okay. Does it look workable, doable? I think it's important that we keep it on the front burner, and that way we can figure out how that would be implemented. But we're going to be dependent on you two and your staffs to help us out.
Okay. Are we also implementing or still researching the 30% rule, or is that kind of on pause?
I guess I leave that up to the council. I want to make sure that we get something out there that works for this city and that helps us reduce blighted properties or those landlords who are not keeping up with where they should. So.
Well, may I suggest with the 30% rule, you leave that on. We'll just leave that on the table and I work on this other thing first.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I would think that this would do a much better job than the 30% rule. Yeah. So
I was just saying, with regards to addressing the whole ordinance, yes, please. In fact, so much so that if it takes some outside resources to update this ordinance, yes, I don't trust anything from the 60s. So. I'm all about updating this thing.
He's okay.
All right. But I think the key, this is important. And it's important to make it current. It's important to make it consistent. It's important to make it effective. So, yes. And as much as possible, pass the cost on.
But I would like to get an update in 3 months. So at least let us know what's happening, where it's at, because I don't want to
call those words.
Okay.
And input as far as properties that we received as surveys, I want to also factor them, to this big picture of properties that receive incentives. I don't think that we should be giving incentives to properties that property owners that receive incentives. Yeah. So we'll factor all of that in as well.
Perfect. Thank you.
And maybe the message that staff and what I'm hearing from the council is, staff is blessed to make this as good as a process as they possibly can and come back to us with some recommendations.
Yes. Ms. Means.
Are there any online resources of updated ordinance that might help speed it along or might give you some idea of just how extensive that update will be even prior to hiring, considering a consultant?
We've been investigating this for a number of months now, so I mean, we do have some good resources, some good contacts as far as there's no point in reinventing the wheel. I mean, we can model it after a number of other cities.
Okay, thank you.
There are a couple of groups out there, and I don't know if you intended this or not, like the Rental Housing Association and so forth. I would want to tap into some of their expertise too and make this a partnership. It's going to make acceptance eventually much more. It'll make it much easier. So I would reach out to the people that know and do this stuff day in and day out, just like you do. But offer that up. All right. So I would agree that probably, can we say March to at least come back with an update of where we're at?
Well, I'd say the first part of April we'll be back.
Okay. So that we can kind of get it at least a placeholder on a calendar to come back with an update.
Okay.
There's one thing I've been talking to Mr. Johnson about recently about renters and how they are notified and if there are any health issues that may surface that they specifically need to be notified. Can you include some type of language in there for, ADA accommodations that might go beyond what they're currently doing? Based on the conversation we had regarding one client that's in my ward that had possibly some health issues. And even though the landowner may notify the folks of the inspection by taping it on a wall or sending out an email, we need to make sure all of those tenants get it. And secondly, if special attention needs to be directed at anyone who may have a health issue that may be impacted by not knowing about the inspection. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm not sure how we would consider that, but we will look at see what other cities have done for that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate you looking at that as well. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Good suggestion. See if we can push it forward. Our last item today is a wrap-up of the 2016 recommended budget review. What other loose ends do we have?
Well, I guess we completed it on Wednesday, but we didn't make any and we're hopeful that, I guess from the staff, that you have made all the changes that you want to, and that we would proceed then to prepare the documents for the approval on the 21st. What you've done to date is you took $20,000 away from your own budget for some membership things and everything else so far in the positions that you have at least not indicated disapproval. And so from myself and the staff, we're hoping that you're satisfied with the budget that was presented, then we can go ahead and adopt that budget.
Comments, Mr. Wojcik and Ms. Means?
So I went back, and I'll forward this on to the council too, but I voted against the 2015 budget, and I was not very happy with it. I think the 2016 budget is better. A couple of the key things that were important to me is that in hearing from Transit, it does sound like there's some leeway within their budget to make some significant improvements over the course of 2016, which is important to a lot of people. We hadn't been directly allocating tax dollars to the street funding to the level we need to, and my biggest concern here is I think we're putting like 1.5 or 1.6 million into street maintenance. Does that sound right?
No, we got pushing two million.
Okay, two million, and I mean which is good, but you know just maintaining the roads that we have today are closer to 12 million just for the capital maintenance and replacement, and understanding that if we're going to undershoot what we're capable of doing with the levy this year, we have a long way to go to get that annual funding of roads to where it needs to be just to maintain what we already have. Forget about stuff in the future. And if we're going to, in fact, you know, reduce the levy for this year, I would just expect that to come with some direction to staff, and I'll put together a resolution or amendment to this. But we need to come up with a plan how over time we're going to put the amount of money to maintain our roads that is required to maintain them annually, and we're just not even close to that yet. And you know, ultimately it'll be on staff to verify the numbers and everything, but we're just nowhere near where we need to be to maintain what we have. I do think that how we're handling the utilities continues to be a frustration for some of us, and I think that's going to be address going forward. And then I'll send out my my comments that I had sent last year and how I feel they've been addressed. And I think a lot of them have been addressed, but I think there are still some issues out there, but I'm certainly more supportive of this budget than I was last year's budget.
Okay. I would agree with Ms. Quenville. Hopefully we made whatever adjustments we thought were proper during the course of the discussions. But the only thing, new one that I heard was the thing we talked about late in the day, Mr. Campion's suggestion that we include some students in the NLC conference, but I think we'll talk about taking that out of contingency.
We can do that at the time when it comes up. We just have a
right. So
appropriate room for contingency
really
to cover
it. Don't worry about budget per se.
So. Hey, one other thing, too, this one kind of bothers me a little bit, is you've cut down the contingency a little bit, mm-hmm. and we're well under the 8%. I think we're about 7% right now.
I moved it back 45,000, though.
Did you? You moved it back? Well, no, but are we at 1 million or 945?
945.
But you want to be at a million?
Well, eventually. I wanted to keep get someone a reasonable property tax increase, and a lot of people would think 7% is not very reasonable.
Well, and part of that is, if you're not living in downtown Rochester, you're basically not seeing anything substantial on your property taxes. And if you are in downtown Rochester, nothing we're going to do.
Well, the commercial, if you're in commercial, of course, you're going to get whacked pretty good.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, I don't know. I guess it would be, if you think that the contingency needs to be at a million, I'd rather see the contingency at a million.
Well, I recommend that 945, and I feel I have to stick with my recommendation. And I appreciate, you know, that sort of a support, because I do think you need to maintain a fairly decent contingency, and for a $250-some million budget, a million is not excessive.
Okay.
But
well, that was
at least we came back, and I think it's important. It was important to me to try to keep the property tax levy at 7% or under.
Ms. Means, you got a comment?
I tell you, you do an awesome job, because you are looking out for the, you know, the levy being as reasonable as you can make it, and so thank you for that. I'm sure the taxpayers appreciate it. I want to make two comments, and one is on Mr. Bojek's statement, and I absolutely agree, and about the maintenance of our roads and bridges and all the infrastructure, and that we somehow need to start behaving very proactively to incrementally get a fund up so that we're not reacting. We are being proactive so that we will eventually have funds enough to replace some of the ills of our roads. And I hope that during this next year, we can have that as part of our discussion on the committee of the whole. Exactly how we're going to do that, or if it's the will of the council.
Well, if I may comment on that and suggest that Michael's at me, I understand the need, but to get there is, it's all money. Mm-hmm. And that will depend upon you, and it will depend upon, you know, the street utility, the street utility and legislature would be helpful. Probably we don't assess overlays where a lot of cities do. I mean, we could do some things like that, but it gets down to money, and I don't think the populace would agree to the amount of money that they'd have to pay to build that fund to maintain the roads to the way Michael's suggesting. Where are you going to get that money?
I'm not really suggesting. I'm just saying this is the cost of maintaining the roads that
we
already have.
I know. How are you going to fix it?
But you have a point. I mean, property taxes are a really unfair way to pay for roads.
Right.
It doesn't put the cost where the cost should be put.
Agreed.
And I said the only thing worse than using property taxes to pay for those maintenances is just ignoring them altogether. And that's where...
But we don't really ignore them. We're just trying to do as much as we can given the monetary circumstances that we have.
You know, and we'll be coming forward with the data where we take a look at if you apply the maintenance schedule that we need to be doing to the roads that we have, what that costs. That's going to come out to be over $12 million
a year. How much?
$12 million a year.
Mr. Ruska?
I think one thing we have to remember is a big part of our budget this year, the increase, was our public safety, which is something we've been looking at. The four additional police officers on the streets, along with some support staff for those, and a few of the fire department, additional fire department people are needed to keep our public safety at a certain level in this community. So, with that, I think we've certainly scrutinized the whole budget and looked at all these, but I think that increase in public safety is something that we need to keep a focus on moving forward, and I think we addressed it this year.
And I, you're right, of course, but I think our roads are part of public safety as well. So I would hope that we can have it have further discussion on it, and to see whatever you've put together, Mr. Bojek, to discuss that. The other thing I wanted to mention about the budget is, you know, really, I wasn't very happy to hear about the council budget being reduced. I believe that the $20,000 or so that was going to be taken out of the council's budget, I think it should remain in the council's budget. And I'm not real strong on this, but I was hoping that it would remain in the council budget and there would be some allocation for staff to have the opportunity through other venues to make sure that their people have a chance to attend some of these conferences. They are absolutely awesome, and oftentimes I will send something like I did with Doug and Calabau about, you know, even dog tags and about, they asked me about wooden pipes. I, I didn't know if there were wooden pipes underground or what kind of pipes were underground. I didn't even know there was so much underground, frankly. So I called Doug from the conference and I said, Doug, help me with this. And so he did, and I sent him the information so he could, you know, look at it and see whether there was something that would be beneficial to us. So there's wonderful information at the conferences, and I've been privileged to attend most of them. And I think it would be real beneficial for our staff to appoint one or two or however many people. But does it have to come out of the council budget? Because I don't think our budget is very large.
We'll take it out of the contingency account. When you know,
we're seeing that's low too.
And that $20,000 reduction in the council budget was only it was a mistake we made. It was a shifting, but we should have had that the $20,000 paid out of the sewer fund because that was a sewer fund items. Okay. So all we did was shift that $20,000 from the tax levy to the sewer fund. We didn't really reduce any of your abilities to finance your other needs in that budget.
The contingency, what's the lowest we've ever gotten in there over the last few years? I mean, that's all it's been pretty...
Well, back with our budget crisis years, of course, we used almost all of it.
Great.
And hopefully we finish, with $300,000-$400,000, because I'd like to finish in the black as much as possible, and I'd like to finish in the black at least $1 million if we could do that.
Right. But we haven't drawn it. We've drawn it down less than $300,000 the last few years?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's all stayed pretty much up there, so, you know, it's
certainly enough to get us through. Part of it is it's how we increase our budgetary reserves.
Yes.
So if we don't have enough in there, it's not increasing our budgetary reserves enough to maintain the ratings.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Biddleback, I just want to, Steve, thank you and your staff, Dale and your staff, for all their work. This is not an easy thing, and all our department heads as well. It's a long process, even though most people only see a week of it. The fact is you do 3, 4, 5 months a year of trying to figure out this budget, and I think we need to say thank you to all you folks and our city staff who put this together. It's not easy. It's something we all take very, very seriously. We're very concerned about the increases, and so I think what we've seen this year was a great job by all, and I just want to say thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of all the department heads, I appreciate it.
I was just going to say, Stephen, I think the updates that we get throughout the year help us when we get to the budget, because we are all already, when we have time to focus on each department, having that time a little bit more to dig in deeper than trying to do that in 2.5 days that we're going over so much. So I know that sometimes it's maybe a little bit of a challenge to get everybody here and have prepared and have them sit here for a while, but I think it really helps us to be able to understand the different challenges that they have, their budgets, their personnel, and kind of get a chance to step back and listen to each one of them throughout the year. So I appreciate the time that we've taken to do that, and all the department heads that have given their time to come in here and share their thoughts with us. So.
I agree with Mr. Ruska's earlier comment that, you know, in the last few years we've been pretty stingy in terms of adding staff. This year I think we tried to step up and really keep an eye on public safety, infrastructure maintenance, things of those nature, critical positions that we need. And I think it's really important that we cultivate that knowledge. The city is not immune to some of the same workforce issues that other businesses are. We're seeing retirements, we're seeing knowledge walk out the door, and so we need to make a due diligent attempt at making sure that we are bringing staff on board and educating them so that they become really good, productive staff members. Mr. Wojcik.
So during the budget hearings, one of the things that I asked for was to integrate and keep up to date this 5-year staffing roadmap that we had. And probably when we get to the decision, I'm probably going to bring up two particular items for official vote on. One is the integrating that staffing roadmap to our, you know, just like we have a CIP, we'd have a staffing roadmap. And then second would be some sort of motion to address coming up with a plan so we can budget for how we're going to get to the point of break even in our transportation maintenance. And, you know, they're both long-term items, but they can't, you know, I don't want to get into a situation where we're so far behind that, you know, we start to run into real issues, because we are hitting some, a lot of that infrastructure was built in the 80s and 90s, and it's going to be coming due.
It's not the 60s.
Mr. Mayor, you had a comment.
Down.
Well, you can't say thank you enough, and I know that you've all expressed a thanks, but I wanted to just add to that, too. Certainly to, you know, administration, Steve, and all the rest of the department heads and departments that have spent a lot of time to put that budget together, and then to that day, and I should have probably said it when we finished it last week, but for Dale and Rachel and Carrie and others that are working on that, it's amazing to see that. And I walk by Steve's desk often, or the table filled with papers, and how that can all come together in a couple bound notebooks. And then also say thanks to all of you, the council members, for your responsible review of all of that. It's what makes Rochester the just absolutely great city it is, and we've got great things ahead of us, and I think you've, over the years, have built a pretty strong foundation, and thanks to everybody that's worked on, and even to those comments that come from the Truth and Taxation, that at times you say, do you really understand what's totally going on in all of this? For what a city can do and can't do and things like that. So again, just a huge thank you to many, many people and facets of this whole process.
One comment too, that I was just checking my notes, and I know Mr. Quenneville, Mr. Martinson aren't going to be excited about this, but I do want to pay some attention to all those contingency funds, and I know there are 800 plus accounts. I don't know that we can talk about it. We don't necessarily need to see the balance in all 800 of those, but in total, they consume, I think, $200 million thereabouts. And so I think the council should have at least some better idea of where some of those funds are, or what they might be designated for, just so that...
I understand that. So, as I said, if I was in your situation, I'd want to know it. I'll try not to be as protective of that information.
Right. So I'm not looking for a list of 800 accounts in their, you know, $95 balance or anything, but... I think we could come up with some happy medium that wouldn't make it a overly onerous reporting task. So, all right. Anything else on the budget today?
Nope.
We'll take it up then on the 21st.
Correct.
All right. Any other business then for the council this afternoon?
Just wanted to verify. We are going to have a meeting. We're going to have a committee meeting next week. We're not going to have one on the 28th. And then we're not going
to
have one.
There's nothing scheduled for the 21st right now.
We have no topics currently
for the 21st.
21st or 28th.
No.
Okay. Your pleasure.
And while I was just checking.
I suggest you take them off for the holiday break.
Well, I mean, 21st we're not taking off anyway, so. But the, and then what's the one after that, the one in January?
Fourth.
Are we back here on the fourth?
I'll get some things together.
I just wanted to verify.
All right.
I was going to blow y'all off anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 28.
Right. Then we are done.
I'm going to ask two neural questions.